You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sam Turner, Andy Holding and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. It's brighter than Chepstow on Tuesday afternoon, Newbury and Fontwell in the evening, and we've also got racing over the Irish Sea from Ballinrobe on Tuesday night. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
I'm in good form, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. It's been a while since you've sat in that chair on this podcast.
It has been a while, yes. A rare sojourn.
Oh, very nice. What have you been up to, Stephen? Oh, new?
Not really. No. Busy old summer. Been spending a lot of time in Newmarket, as you'd expect, which is always good fun. And, been doing a lot of... been William Hill a fair bit, actually, but just not on the on the radio service. Those people who go to a William Hill shop have been a tad unfortunate.
Yes. well, what we're going to do is we're going to start with a look at the Monday jury, as we usually do, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's action. Stephen's got four races for us, so we'll get those in due course. But starting with the Monday jury, Stephen, Golden Horn against Glen Eagles in the Irish Champion. Who do you fancy?
I'd stick with Golden Horn, actually, to be honest. Obviously, the ground is going to be a key thing. Now, I don't think it was the ground that got Golden Horn beat at York last week, personally. I just think it was the way the race was run, combined with the fact that, as John Gosden pointed out afterwards, he'd been primed to run at Ascot 4 weeks ago and hadn't run since then. And obviously, they've just been trying to tick him over and he might have just boiled over a little bit, basically. In theory, I suppose you could say that York was a prep run in this sense for Ireland, because it's only going to be 3 weeks away now. And I think Aidan O'Brien may well run a couple of pacemakers, which would be interesting if they do, because I think they'll make it a good test. And if they make it a good test, I think Golden Horn would probably win. If they don't run pacemakers and it turns into a sprint, I think Frankie might lead like he did in the Eclipse. And that may, you know, getting first run on Glen Eagles may need that Glen Eagles will need to dig deep and not just rely on his sort of turn of foot, and Golden Horn will out-battle him, basically. So I'm inclined to stick with Golden Horn on that basis.
I would go with probably neither.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think Glen Eagles will run, because I think the ground will be too testing if you take past forecasts into account.
Well, actually, I think 5 of the last 6 years it's been good or faster at Leopardstown, which is bizarre, really, when you think about ground in Ireland in general. But being Ireland, it could well be heavy and neither of them will run. So, it's a fair point.
Plus, I'm not entirely sure whether Golden Horn might just be over the top a little bit now. He didn't show the same turn of foot that he's shown in his other races. I know that the ground was against him and horses struggled to quicken maybe at York this week. But
if you take out Arabian Queen, though, he has beaten the Grey Gatsby exactly the same way that he beat him at Sandown.
That's a fair point.
You take the winner out and they've all run really how we expected the race to pan out, in theory.
I still think he probably would have gone by, though.
So,
I'm not sure.
No, I'm not sure either. To be honest. But then you look at the other results on the Knavesmire. There were more than one freak result over the course of the 4 days.
I can't really weigh up whether he might be over the top or whether it was just down to the ground or SDS being in the right place as usual. I think
it might be I don't think he's over the top, but a combination of... Yeah, because Dick Doughty-Wiley went off far too quick, really. And so he basically just didn't even affect the race in any way, shape or form. Yeah. And Sylvester's controlled it from the front of the main group, and got an easy time of things. And, you know, had Golden Horn been in that position, then he probably would have won. So the fact that Dick Doughty-Wiley was only about 6 lengths off Golden Horn in the end shows that he probably didn't run up to his best. And there were a lot of races where horses didn't make ground from the back throughout the course of the week. Clever Cookie and Chancery, both on Friday, to name but two. So I think there are, I wouldn't say excuses, but reasons for the defeat. And again, to be fair, Glenn Eagles has been primed to run twice in the last 6 weeks and hasn't run either time as well. And he had a racecourse gallop at the Curra on Sunday, which obviously was basically a prep for Leopardstown. But you can't beat actually having a race. And
they're running out of options with him as well a little bit. I know they keep taking him out. They need to start...
which is bizarre, saying they don't want to run him on slow ground. I mean, he's won a classic with cutting the ground already. Yeah. And his half-sister won the Irish Guineas on heavy ground. And they're normally more adventurous. So the fact that they're not being so concerns me a little.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd still fancy Golden Horn anyway. Because I think, as I say, if they make it a good test, he'll outstay him. And if they don't, Frankie will dictate it. And we know Frankie's great from the front. So
yeah. Good, looking forward to that. Who's your St. Ledger choice following the events at York?
Storm, obviously, you can't knock Storm the Stars, really, because he's had a great year and he's running a lot of races, a lot of big races, and seems to be holding his form really, really well. But the St. Ledger is going to be the hardest one of the lot that he's running so far. It's going to test him more than any of the others have tested him. And I think Bondi Beach will reverse the form on town more, personally. I just think there's been probably last two or three runs, you know, there's been suggestion or talk that it might be, you know, one step too far, might be a bit over the top, et cetera, et cetera. And it keeps proving people wrong. But eventually, he will be one run too much. And I think the Ledger's, but as I say, he's the hardest race of them all. And to be honest, he's not guaranteed to stay, I don't think, either, really. Where Bondi Beach has already won over the trip, he's had a lot less run, been brought along steadily. To be honest as well, I think he should have been awarded the race at York, the Voltiger, on Wednesday. I mean, Storm the Stars has carried him across the track. The jockey's made no effort to correct the Storm the Stars. He's bumped him twice, and the rider has been done for careless riding for 4 or 5 days. And yet they still didn't change the result. Mm. I mean, what do you actually need to do to change the result? To be fair to Pat Cosgrave, who rode Storm the Stars, he was quite impressive in the Stewards' Inquiry afterwards.
Yeah.
Arguably more so than Joseph O'Brien, which is probably experience, I would think, because he's been riding for a good few years more. I think Bondi Beach reversed the form with him at York, at Doncaster.
Okay. The question is surrounding York, but I'm going to throw Order of St. George in there as well, who was fairly impressive on Sunday. Did you see it?
I did see, yeah. He was fairly impressive, as I agree. But to be honest, we don't know the pecking order for the O'Brien bunch, really, do we? So, yeah. I mean, the way things are going, I mean, they were talking about Fields of Ass and Rhyme being a Ledger horse and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I don't actually think he got a great ride, to be fair, Fields of Ass and Rhyme in the Ebor. But they're both, including Bondi Beach, all well to the fore of the market. When you look through that we've got Bondi Beach and Storm the Stars 9-2. Mr. Singh, he ran a nice enough race when he won at Newmarket, but he doesn't excite me particularly. And Order of St. George was quite impressive. And then after that, struggling a bit, really, to be honest. I don't think Highland Rail will stay. Covert Love, I'm not convinced she'll stay, really, either. And then you've just got some others that will probably just make the lineup, really. So I think Aidan O'Brien will win it. I'll sign with Bondi Beach.
All right. Do any of the two-year-olds who ran at York last week strike you as future classic winners?
Well, Recorder was quite impressive when he won the Acom. I mean, I saw him when he won at Newmarket on his second start. I mean, he was well fancied on his debut, but he was just too green to win. But he was impressive, and I can imagine he'll be running in the Champagne or the Dewhurst before the end of the year. And Lumiere as well. Obviously, she was very impressive when she won at Newmarket on her debut. And then she was far too keen in the Lauda. She went off from the front far too clean, and having been headed, then rallied and was closing again near the line. I thought that was a good run. And reports are that she didn't have a straightforward prep in the build-up to York either.
It's only a second run as well.
Exactly. So I would not lose faith with her. And I think in the long term, she'll reverse the form with Bashara if they met again, to be honest. So I thought those were both pretty good, to be fair. I thought we saw two good renewals of those races.
Hmm. Can you see Mecca's Angel getting beaten in the Abbey?
Not if there's cutting the ground. Not really, no, to be honest, because it's basically going to be the Nunthorpe with a couple of French horses thrown in, and the French sprinters aren't up to a great deal. And if there is cutting the ground, which 9 times out of 10 there are in Paris, it's going to be perfect for her.
Yeah, she just rock solid, and she gets cut in the ground and a decent draw, then she's going to be very hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, even if she didn't get a decent draw, but there was cut in the ground, I still wouldn't be overly concerned, because I think she just is better and handles it better than the others.
Yeah. Okay. What chance would you give Lonsdale winner Max Dynamite in the Melbourne Cup?
That's a very hard question to give an in-depth answer to. But Willie Mullins has gone around the world and won big jump races. So I don't see the reason why he can't go around the world and win big flat races. Obviously, the Europeans have been doing really well in the Melbourne Cup in recent years. And I mean, the first European winner of the race in Vintage Crop was a horse who'd run at the Cheltenham Festival earlier that year, as Max Dynamite did. And he was quite impressive. Obviously, he's going to get a lot of weight. Whether it'd be quite quick enough, maybe you'd have the gears, because you tend to find that the Australian horses who win it, or the Europeans, tend to be, you know, I know it's a bit cliche, but tend to be mile and a half horses that have a little bit of speed. I mean, Red Caddo, you wouldn't class him as an out and out 2 miler, and he's, you know, been beaten in second place 3 times. So whether he might just get tapped for toe when they're quickening and then be running on at the end. We'll see. I'd be surprised if he won, but I'd love him to run a great race, obviously.
Yeah, it's not enough for Willie Mullins to just dominate jumps racing everywhere. Could go have a go at the flat as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Prove that it's no fluke.
Yeah. What would you make of the ground for Max Dynamite? I mean, it was testing conditions. He seemed to relish them at York. It'd be much, much quicker in Australia, wouldn't it? I think he's got form on quicker surface in the past anyway.
He has, yeah. I mean, to be fair, come Friday at York, I don't think it was all that testing. I think it was just a bit dead. And Flemington, because obviously November's their spring, it can be a bit showery, so it's not always rattling quick. I think if you could just get good, you know, somewhere that's, it's not rattling quick and it's not bottomless, he'll be fine.
All right.
Just down the middle.
Final question of this week's Monday Jory. Give us one to follow from the handicaps on the nerves, Maya.
Well, I mean, some of the handicaps were almost impossible, really, beforehand. I mean, I know that he was really, really well-backed and stuff like that beforehand, but I do think Fields of Athen Rye ran a very good race considering the ride he was given. I thought that maybe he just had a bit of a rush of blood, young Donoher. I was there on Wednesday when Heartbreak City won the 2 mile handicap. Tony Martin trains him. And with Tony Martin's record, it wouldn't be a great surprise if between now and this time next year, he's won a very big handicap in the ilk of the Cesarewitch Chester Cup. Tony Martin, it could be the County Hurdle or something similar to that.
All right, fair enough. Any other news caught your eye, Stephen, before we move on to Tuesday?
The horse of Jim Bolger's, who won the 2-year-old maiden at the Curragh on Saturday. If anybody hasn't seen it, go back and watch it. It was a 24-runner 2-year-old maiden, and this horse of Jim Bolger's absolutely annihilated the field by 6.5 lengths. Smash Williams, he was called, and he was really impressive. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it back. But it will take the breath away. It was great performance.
I thought you'd lost your cool a little bit there. Smash Williams, I thought you were going to go, smashed it.
Yeah. Well, he did, though, to be fair. 6.5 lengths and a 24-runner maiden is some performance as well. I was really, really impressed with that.
All right. Good stuff. Let's leave that there. Let's move on to Tuesday's action. Stephen's got 4 races for us. We'll get his best bets on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, moving on to Tuesday's action. And the first race we look at is the 4:30 at Chepstow. This is a class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Only 6 of them in the lineup. It's going to be pretty testing stuff as well, Stephen. Who do you side with in there?
Yeah, the going is heavy at Chepstow. It's been pretty wet in southwest Wales, which is, to be fair, a regular occurrence. But yeah, really going to be heavy ground at Chepstow on Tuesday. So you're going to be looking for horses with soft ground form. My Boy Alpha, who's trained by John Jenkins, is a course and distance winner on heavy ground as well. And he's now a few pounds, 4 to be exact, below his last win, which was at Warwick in April of 2014. What would concern me is recent wins have all been over a mile or a little bit further. And he's not won over 7 since he won here at Chepstow. And his form this season, to be honest, hasn't been up to much either. Sarangu's also got soft ground form over course and distance as well, and she's actually been running pretty well, to be fair. She won at Brighton earlier on this year, having been touched off before that, and she's only £2 higher, having been only beaten a couple of lengths on her last two starts, so I'd expect a good run from her. But the one I'm going to side with and take a bit of a punt is Dr. Bong, a three-year-old who's trained by Andrew Balding. He managed to win a maiden at Chester on his second start before finishing fourth at Sandown on his handicap debut, which was a harder race, a better race than this. And the handicap has dropped him. He was only beaten 2¾ lengths, but he's dropped him £2 for that. And whilst his three runs have all been on good or quicker so far, he's by Sleeping Indian, who likes soft ground himself. And it's interesting, I think, that Andrew Balding's going to run him on this ground as well. Lightly raced, unexposed, so could be a little bit more to come from him. So, small punt on Dr. Bong.
Dr. Bong for Stephen. In the 4:30 at Chepstow, moving to Newbury next for their 6:10. This one is a Class 3 nursery over 5 furlongs, so we've got the two-year-olds in action here, a field of 7. We'll start with Sheridan Stephen, who has won 2 of her 3 starts. Didn't cut much ice in the Queen Mary at Royal Ascot, but... in her grid, she's pretty good.
She's done all right, yeah. She won at Nottingham with a bit of cutting the ground first time out. I mean, it's going to be just on the slow side of good at Newbury if they don't get any more rain. And then back down in grade, managed to win at Foss last, beating Sarige, who is in this lineup as well. I mean, there's a very small swing in the weights there, about £2, which is not going to make a great deal of difference, I wouldn't have thought. And I think Shaden will probably confirm the form with Sarige. The one I actually fancy, though, is Fashionable Spirit for Mark Johnston, Sylvester D'Souza. Managed to win at Ripon, win the maiden there back in June. Has had 3 runs since then, including in a conditions event behind What Do I Want That For, who's a fair yardstick for the Hannon team. And since then, has run in 2 much better races than this. 1 at York in a nursery in July, and then at Glorious Goodwood, when the horse just faded in the last 50 yards or so in his first attempt at 6 furlongs. That was a very good Class 2 race. Back down to 5, and Sylvester back on, who won on her at Ripon as well. I think she'll give the others something to think about there. Receiving weight from all of them except November.
Moving on to the 6:40 at Newbury next. This one is a Class 4 handicap over a mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got 13 of them in the lineup here, Stephen. Several of them arriving in pretty decent nick as well. It's a competitive race.
Very competitive race. Probably the most competitive race of the day, actually. This is a very good contest over at Newbury. Mersal's dropping down in grade, having been running in some very good races at Epsom at the Derby meeting and a listed race at Newmarket last time. So I'm sure he'll appreciate that. But still, I would like to have seen him run even slightly better in those, to be honest, than he did. We've got Victor's Bet, who's coming after a year off, but did win its last 2 starts when last seen. And has only gone up £4 since his last win for O'Shea Murphy, but will need to be, I think, fit and ready to run. And this yard I would associate with maybe being better after a couple of outings. Gold Prince is one that does interest me, and he's going to be the choice actually for Sylvester Kirk and Sylvester D'Souza as well. Managed to win a maiden at Salisbury at the end of last year. 2 runs this season. I think didn't run that well first time up at Sandown, but like last year, improved from his first to second run when he was in a length behind Al Corn, who's a decent John Gosden trained individual, in a good race at Salisbury 2 weeks ago, and being by Naef should improve as he gets older, and out of a Selkirk Mirror as well should help him. And also just keep your eyes on Junkart, who's trained by William Haggas. Won 2 races last year, including on soft ground. Was sent off favourite on his first 2 starts this season. I mean, his 5th at Chelmsford was quite a good run, beaten 5½ lengths by Pitcher Dealer in a very valuable Class 3 handicap, but couldn't back it up back at Wolverhampton last week. They're now stepping up 2 furlongs to a mile for the first time, which is interesting. And the fact that he was sent off favourite on those first 2 runs suggests that they think the ability is still there. And with the form that William Haggas has been in, I think it'd be folly to rule him out. But I think I'll sign with Gold Prince.
Gold Prince for Stephen there then. And the final race we look at is the 6:50 at Fontwell Park. We finish here with a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. There's 5 of them in the lineup here, Stephen. We'll start with Royal Battalion, who won at the course last time. Gary Moore's in pretty decent nick as well, so a few ticks in boxes.
Yeah, indeed, and he's going to be the choice, Mark, to be honest. We're just going to keep it simple with Royal Battalion. Took a while for the sort of pennies to drop this horse over hurdles as he gained with experience, though he did get better and followed his best run in this sphere at Worcester with a career best effort to win last time out. And he won going away in a a field where there were horses who were better fancied than him and in better form, the likes of Royal Skies and At First Light, who were behind him on that occasion, have been running well all summer. And he's still only 4 years of age as well. I mean, Ubeldo de Manet was favourite last time out, but ran a terrible race, beaten a long, long way over at Uttoxeter. That was 32 days ago, and he's going to need to bounce back from that effort considerably. Roja Dove's been running in selling hurdles and popping along, makes her handicap debut at the bottom. I mean, she won at Uttoxeter as well, and she's open to a little bit more improvement on her first start in this sphere. But with his recent win over course and distance and the yard continuing in good form, just keep it simple and go with Royal Battalion, I reckon.
Good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then, Stephen, as always, if you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, we'll go in the 4:30 at Chepstow Mark with Dr. Bong, who's dropping in grade on just his fourth career start. In the 6:10 over at Newbury, which is a very decent little nursery, we're going to go with the Mark Johnston-trained Fashionable Spirit with Sylvester D'Souza aboard. And we're going to stick with Sylvester in the 6:40 at Newbury and go with Gold Prince for the Sylvester Kirk team. And then over at Fontwell, recent course winner Royal Battalion comes here, and I think he'll follow up that recent success.
Superb. Thank you very much, Stephen. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Sam Turner, Andy Holding and Kevin O'Malley will be the team in the studio. It's Brighton and Chepstow on Tuesday afternoon, Newbury and Fontwell in the evening, and there's also racing over in Ireland from Ballinrobe on Tuesday night as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.